Well, this evening we'll return to our study in the book of Genesis. If you'll open your Bibles this evening to chapter 17. The last time that we were in our study here in Genesis, we read chapter 17, considered the significance of the introduction of four names in this chapter, and had pretty much considered those thoughts. But before we leave the 17th chapter of Genesis, I want to consider another very important and significant mention in this chapter that plays an important part in the in God's plan of redemption, and the significance of this ritual, this ceremony that was demanded by God at this time of Abraham. Remember, he had already made the promise of grace to Abraham. Abraham had already believed the promise and had already been, it had been accounted to him for righteousness, that faith. But we see an important introduction here in chapter 17. Let's just read the chapter again so we get the context of the ceremony, the ritual of circumcision. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, and as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, and as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, No. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day Abraham was circumcised in his son Ishmael. And all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. The important command here of circumcision is instituted in connection with the covenant of God's grace to Abraham. Now, the covenant of God's grace was wholly on God's part. I will bless you. I will do this. I will make of you a great nation. I will give you the land. All of that was unconditional as far as Abraham's part was concerned. But here in this passage, God adds an additional command that Abraham was responsible and his descendants were responsible to obey. It was a sign that a covenant had been made with God, that God had chosen Abraham and his descendants. And it's directly connected with the possession of the land of Canaan. Notice how this promise was emphasized in this passage, that it has to do with Abraham and his descendants possessing the land of Canaan. And so circumcision was a visible sign of this special place that God had chosen Abraham and his descendants, and a part of the blessing was the fruitfulness and the blessing that would come on his descendants. Now, history tells us that the practice of circumcision was not something that was new. This is not a new operation that took place just with Abraham and his descendants. It was in existence before this point in time. But the significance that is given to it is new and unique. It is a specific mark of God's choosing Abraham and his descendants to have this special place in the plan of God's redemption for the human race. It was to separate this people from all the people around them. The fact that the land belongs to Israel is a provision of God's grace, and this is something that we can remember, and you know, these things are ancient, as we think of Ishmael, as we've already considered the results of the birth of Ishmael because of unbelief on Abraham and Sarah's part. Once again, to the front of the newspaper, in the front of the headlines, we see Israel and their neighbors come to the forefront once again. But even when they're not on the front page, we understand that the human race, God's dealing with the nation of Israel, has everything to do with the entire human race. God's redemption of the entire human race is directly connected to the nation of Israel. This is one reason why Satan hates the Jews, and why there have been so many followers of Satan that have tried to eradicate the Jews from the face of the earth. It's because God has an enemy, and God's those that God loves and those that God chooses, his enemy hates. And so we see that the land once again is being attacked. But the promise is that that land belongs to Israel because it belonged to God first, and he gave it to Abraham and his descendants. However, though the possessing of the land, though the fact that the land belongs to Israel is an act of God's grace, and that will not change, the provision, the actual possessing of the land by individual Jews was conditional. In other words, Israel, the nation, there will be a remnant that will inherit the land. And that is yet future, because even Israel in its present nation as it is, it is not the inheritance, the full inheritance that was promised Abraham. That is yet to come. But there will be a remnant that possesses it, because God, by his grace, says, I will do it. I give you the land. But here we see that the condition for the individual Jew to possess the land and to enjoy its benefits was directly connected with their obedience to this act of circumcision. It was given to cause Israel to remember that he had called them to be a separate people, separate from their uncircumcised, idol-worshipping neighbors. And if they were personally going to possess the land and enjoy it, they had to maintain themselves separate from the rest of the nations. And circumcision was a mark of that separation. It was an appropriate reminder. Now, some of these things we may not like to consider or dwell upon, but the fact is they are significant. And circumcision was a very appropriate reminder to the Jews of God's covenant with Abraham, because it was a promise, as we've seen in this chapter 17, it was a promise of fruitfulness. It was a promise that was going to lead ultimately to the promised seed, the Messiah, the birth of the Messiah. And so a visible sign on the very instrument of reproduction was an appropriate reminder to the Jews of what God had promised, because it was a very specific promise in a very specific area. I will bless your descendants. I have called you to be separate. And that visible mark was a visible sign of that separation. Their people and the propagation of their race was to be blessed of God. That was his promise. It was also quite significant because their circumcision would have been a clear reminder that God demanded that separation, especially concerning their idolatrous neighbors, because idolatry often included fornication, the act of physical fornication. So Israel was constantly tempted by the foreign wives, which led them to idolatry. And in these times of both physical and spiritual fornication, they would be confronted with the reality of the mark of separation. But God had called you to be separate. Now, obviously, circumcision had no power to keep them separate. That was quite obvious, because they did fail to separate themselves. They did mingle and want to be like the other nations, and began to worship, especially the northern tribes, began to worship the idols of their neighbors. So circumcision, though it should have motivated them and reminded them of their call of separation, it had no power to actually keep them separate. But it was only symbolic of the true spiritual circumcision that the Bible teaches, that would come, and that would not only be a reminder of the call to separation, but would be the power to live godly, to live separately. As you read the history of Israel and you see the how important circumcision was in God's plan for Israel, and how their failure to be faithful to circumcision led to so many judgments, and ultimately to the being expelled from Canaan, because they didn't keep their end of that particular part of the covenant. They were expelled from enjoying the land, the individuals that disobeyed God. But this ceremony of circumcision became corrupted. Instead of being a reminder to them of their call of separation, it actually became a badge of pride and arrogance, saying that because of our circumcision, we deserve the blessing of God. Because of our circumcision, we are worthy of the blessings of God. And this corruption of The understanding of circumcision carried over into the early church as well. In Acts 15, we see that Paul had to deal with it in the early church because there were some of the early Jewish believers that carried the corruption from Judaism concerning their understanding of circumcision and brought it into the church and considered that circumcision was a requirement if someone was going to truly be saved. And they felt it was necessary to guarantee God's acceptance because Israel felt, well, we're accepted because we're circumcised. And so if you're going to be saved, then you have to complete this as well. But in Acts 15, verse 1, we see that mentality. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. But Paul very clearly taught that the fallacy of this understanding of circumcision in a number of different passages. We'll read Romans 4, where we have a clear teaching on circumcision directly connected with Abraham. Circumcision did not save Abraham. It did not make him righteous. It was simply a mark, a sign that he had been made righteous, that God had chosen him. Romans chapter 4 and verses 9 to 12. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all of those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Back in Genesis 15, we read about Abraham's faith that was accounted to him for righteousness. And it wasn't until a number of years later, when we come to chapter 17, that Abraham was actually circumcised. So his eternal salvation, his righteous condition before God, was declared long before circumcision. So that understanding, whether you're talking about Israel's corruption of it in their day or in the church age, circumcision was never meant to be a guarantee that someone was accepted by God. That individual faith was necessary. But nevertheless, that symbolic circumcision is symbolic of the true spiritual circumcision that is a necessary part of the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Here we see the spiritual circumcision that the physical was only symbolic of. Colossians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 9, read through 17. For in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. Everything you need to be accepted in God, to have a right standing before him, you are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. It's speaking of his act of sacrifice on the cross, his crucifixion. buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. On the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus was cut off from the rest of humanity. That is what the physical circumcision was symbolic of. He was cut off from the rest of humanity and bore the sins of the whole world. That promised seed that was to come through Abraham's descendants was cut off from the rest of humanity to bear the sins and the judgment, the righteous judgment of God that fell on the human race. He died because of our sin, that we might live unto God. It was a symbolic removal of the sin, the physical circumcision. But Jesus Christ was the fulfillment. He was the substance. He took away our sin once and for all. We are complete in him. We are made perfect in him. So as a result of Christ's sacrifice, we had what you might term a spiritual surgery. My sin nature was declared crucified, dead, powerless, without power. And I was given the very nature of God, the very life of Christ. And that's why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ did what physical circumcision could never do. It gave me the power to live godly. Not only did it make me separate, like circumcision did for Israel, but it gave me the power to live a separated life. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So we are different than we were before we came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We are different. He has done an eternal work, not just on us, but in us, in our heart. The Christian doesn't need an external reminder that we've been chosen and accepted by God, because we've been given an internal reminder in Romans 8 and verse 16. Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is our reminder. And so when the child of God finds themselves in a compromising situation, a temptation, it's not some physical outward reminder that reminds us of our call of separation. It's that convicting power of the Holy Spirit that says, now wait a minute, you're called to something different. You're called to be different because you're a child of God. That's that still small voice of the Spirit of God. May we always be sensitive to that call, to that voice. This is one reason why I'm not a big fan of Christian bumper stickers and jewelry and all the outward signs that people want to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. First of all, you shouldn't need those to remind yourself you're a Christian. And your very life should be the radiation of Christ, that people see Christ in you. If you have to have a t-shirt, now, I know I shouldn't go here, but if you have to have a t-shirt to remind you, it's already too late. What you need is to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, who will remind you of your call of separation. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verses 13 and 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That's my guarantee. Not some ceremony, not some outward mark, but the witness of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit, that guarantees that I am separated already for the glory of God. And because of that separation, because of that eternal destination and glory that is mine, right now I can live a separated life that honors the Lord. Circumcision for Abraham and his descendants was to be an outward sign to them, a reminder of their special relationship to God. Circumcision was not the means of their separation. It was merely a sign of their separation. It should have motivated them to live to honor the Lord, but it didn't. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 16, even under the Old Testament law, if you want to turn there, Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, even under the Old Covenant where God required the physical observation or physical observing of circumcision, even then he was pointing to the spiritual lessons of that physical illustration. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, this is just one of the examples in the Old Testament where he uses this terminology. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. So even under the Old Testament, God was pointing to the spiritual lesson of circumcision, that it's a heart of faith that will lead to a life of separation that will enable us to enjoy all the fullness of the blessing of God. In this church age, we do have a similar outward sign. It's not one that is constant, but it is one that is outward and visible. In Colossians 2 and verse 11, we see a reference here to water baptism that is very similar in purpose to circumcision for the Jews. In Colossians 2 and verses 11 to 14, in him you were also circumcised. I think we read this earlier, but we'll emphasize the baptism here. With the circumcision made without hands, by putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. That's a reference here to water baptism and what it symbolizes. That is, we died with him when he died. We were buried with him when he was buried in the grave. And when we come out of the water, we are symbolizing our identification with his resurrection. So that is certainly an outward symbolizing, an outward sign of that inward work of redemption, much like circumcision was for the Jews. Baptism is not the instrument of salvation, but it is simply a sign of what God has already done for us. Well, I think we'll stop there this evening and we'll pick up where we left off. All right, well, let's stand. We'll be dismayed.